Hello, everyone. Welcome to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with me, Dr. Mary Angela McGuire, on Transformation Talk Radio. During this show, I'll help you practice mindfulness. Most of the principles of mindfulness are very simple, but putting those principles into practice can be devilishly difficult. I'm here to help you become a student of your own mind. I'll share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me as we challenge ourselves to change. Nothing But Now starts now. Hi, everyone. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. So today our topic is equanimity, which is calmness and composure, or what the Buddhists would say, a steady awareness of the transience of reality. I love that. Steady awareness, right? Mindfulness very much, and awareness of reality's transience, both external reality and internal reality. Everything around us is changing, and everything inside of us is changing as well. There is no absolute fixed point. And so oftentimes we feel stuck, but this is the great thing about mindfulness and mindfulness practices, is recognizing that change is happening, change is always there. And it's a way to kind of help us get unstuck. But what we're going to talk about today are the obstacles in this kind of journey towards equanimity, or steady awareness, calmness, composure, and awareness of life's transience. But first, I'd like to talk about crossword puzzles. My mother loved crossword puzzles. She did them every day of her adult life, I think. Coming home from work in the afternoon, that was one of her first things to kind of relax from the day, was to pick up the newspaper and with a pen in hand, fill out the crossword puzzle. When I teased her about using a pen, because I was very impressed by that, she would say, well, she couldn't read it if it was in pencil, so that's why she did it. But she also had become very good at puzzles, crossword puzzles. I never liked crossword puzzles. I like language. I like knowledge. I find crossword puzzles annoying. So a few months ago, when I started doing the daily crossword puzzle in the national newspaper that I have a subscription to and get online, I thought, this is aging at work. But I had read that they were good for brain health, and I had a little too much time on my hands, so I started. And it was one of those crossword puzzles, because it's online, I didn't have to make the pen-pencil decision, which was great because I would have needed the pen in order to read it, but I would have needed the pencil because I was going to make a lot of mistakes. But the online version, of course, has a check crossword, check function to see if you're getting the answers right. And I used it extensively. I don't know if you know this about crossword puzzles, but there are 1,001 ways to cheat at crossword puzzles, and one of them is this check your answers function. After a while, though, I stopped using it, and I'm pretty good at the Monday through Friday puzzles, and I'll just admit that I stopped using it because I realized that if you use it, then the system doesn't track, how quickly you solved the puzzle, how many you solved, whether you solved it within the 24 hours or later. No, there's no gold stars or blue stars if you're checking your answers continuously. And I don't like to think of myself as a competitive person, I suppose, but that I really do need positive reinforcement. So I stopped using that function. And I skipped the Saturday and Sunday puzzles entirely, but even the Monday through Fridays, I sometimes will have to put down and kind of walk away muttering to myself about the stupidity of clever wordplay, because I like the kind of answers that are not, clever puns. I like just straight knowledge. I either know it, pop culture, most of it, or I don't know it, Roman, Greek, Norse mythology. But you learn something from looking it up. So, they do aggravate me still, because to be honest, I'm the kind of person who prefers to do things I'm good at. And I like to ignore things that require a lot of failure before you get the hang of it. And with crossword puzzles, the other thing is for somebody like me, it doesn't look like math or chemistry that looks difficult. Crossword puzzles look easy. And now I'm always thinking to myself, why is this so hard? So here's the big transition. Coming to mindfulness for me has been a little bit like taking up crossword puzzles. I was resistant. I finally did it because I thought it might be beneficial, and it has been, but I am routinely surprised at the challenge it represents. Now, unlike crossword puzzles, mindfulness doesn't really engage in a lot of clever wordplay, but I still find myself asking time and again, why is this so difficult? Today, I'm focusing on the concept of equanimity, calmness and composure, or from the Buddhist tradition, the steady conscious realization of reality's transience. And when I picture somebody who embodies equanimity, I imagine a person standing still, aware of their surroundings, breathing evenly. Well, that doesn't sound so hard, does it? But if I reflect on my own experience and the stories my friends and family and clients tell me, I know the enormous amount of energy that's sometimes required to stand still, to stay aware of our surroundings, and to breathe evenly. So, equanimity. I think one thing that would help, of course, to achieve equanimity is a breathing practice. And so that's what we're going to do before we go further into our topic. First, we breathe because it helps us to calm down, it helps us to focus our mind, and it enhances clarity. So if you haven't done this with me before, remember to pause after the inhale and then allow the exhalation to be slightly longer than the inhale. And we're going to specifically use Lori Cameron's 3 deep breaths. So that first breath, we just pay attention to the sensation of the breath entering and exiting our body. For the second breath, we just pay attention to any place in our body where we feel tension and we relax. And then that third breath, we set our intentions. What do we need right now in this moment? Is it to be open to what's coming next? Is it to be kind to ourselves? Whatever we need right now, let's ask for that in that third breath. So here we go. Breath number one, just pay attention to your breathing. Breath two, relax. And breath three, set your intention. Thanks for doing that with me. So equanimity, steady conscious realization of reality's transience, composure, calmness. It's one of the four foundational concepts of Buddhist philosophy. And although it is a simple idea, it can be difficult to come by. In general, mindfulness is a simple idea, right? Being present to the moment without judgment. But as I've explored in these podcasts, we find a lot of obstacles to it in our daily lives. In fact, I was talking to a client about this yesterday. He said to me at one point, you know, it's really always about going back to the fundamentals of mindfulness, staying present to the moment without judgment. And he finally said, you know, I don't understand why mindfulness isn't like something like LASIK surgery, you know, that surgery you get to correct your corneas. He said, you know, your vision improves almost immediately. And Kevin and I laugh about this a lot because we're both kind of from that intellectual place about our lives. We'll read the book. I'm happy to read the book. I understand the concepts. Why can't I just do it? Why can't it always be there ready for me at any moment, like my improved corneas if I had LASIK surgery? Why does that take so much remembering time and time again? And why do I often then feel like a failure because I can't remember, because it doesn't come easily, because it isn't the first thought, the first feeling that I deal with, especially when a difficult situation comes up? And I think a lot of us feel this way at times in this mindfulness journey, this idea that we have to learn the same thing over and over again. You know, we've talked about the primary obstacles to mindfulness, our habits of mind or patterns of thinking that keep us trapped, right? Some of those habits are things like replaying scenes from the past over and over again, or imagining a scary future. In other words, being mentally someplace other than the present moment. And often those images of the past or possible futures, it's all almost as if they're being narrated by an inner voice, but often a highly critical voice, right? A voice that doesn't trust us to run our own lives, a voice that's constantly pointing out our errors or has a kind of catastrophic attitude towards life, towards relationships, towards work, always sees the worst possible thing that can happen and really forces us to think about that, or tries to get us to think about it, everything from kind of that worst possible perspective. We've also talked about the way in which that voice is really not us. You know, the Buddhists say we are not our thoughts. And those thoughts that voice articulates are ones that we can watch, right? We can become conscious of ourselves as the witnessing, observing presence, the one who hears that voice. And as we practice mindfulness, then we begin to notice the places our mind typically goes, those habits of mind. And when we do that, ideally, we're also noticing that that kind of mindless thinking, that habit of mind, is a full body experience. Right. If I tell you the story of something that's happened, something difficult, or even if I just tell it to myself, the physical sensations that accompany that, the tension, the heat, the clenching jaw, the upset stomach, all of that can come rushing back. So it's happening. What's happening in our mind has a huge impact on us, our bodies, our minds, our spirit, our relationships with other people. And I think what I want to talk about it in today in terms of is energy. Right? That there's so much energy being used, even in what we think of as a mindless habit. You know, if I think about mindlessness and just the way we kind of talk about it, you know, I can drive to a familiar place and not even remember driving there. It doesn't seem like an expenditure of energy. So that's what I want to talk about. We're going to take a break, but when I come back, we're going to talk a little bit about this equanimity and the path towards equanimity as a question of what we're doing with our energy and in our own minds, okay? So I'm Mary Angela McGuire. You're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. We'll see you after the break.
Raising the vibrations through stimulating conversations while exploring the mysteries of Atlantis and Lemuria on Tales from the Merworld Radio with me, Amira Beth. Join us every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Be ready to feel empowered and an active part of the changing earth. For more information about me, visit AmiraBeth.com.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. I am so thrilled to be talking to all of you. We have got talk radio for all of us. Are you ready and willing and able to accept all of the abundance you can muster up in your life? Yeah. Check us out at drpatshow.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm. Oh my goodness.
How do you feel? Just okay? Well, how about you tune in and get ready to be more with The Healing Hour with me, Doc Martin, every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm ready for your questions, and I can't wait to help you find the answers. Every month, we'll have a new live call-in show with innovative topics and a powerful hour of healing. To learn more about me, visit DrSharonMartin.com. See you there. I'm going to be here. You won't want to miss it.
Coming to you live on TransformationTalkRadio.com is The Brilliance Ultimatum, Time's Up with Claudette Rowley. Powerful conversations, practical innovations, and transformative solutions as Claudette and her guests delve into the possibilities and what she calls reality resistance. Join the cultural revolution and annihilate obstacles. Check it out at culturalbrilliance.com.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age, and it provided the truth and the answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. And today our topic is equanimity, calmness, composure, or from the Buddhist perspective, the steady, conscious realization of reality's transience. So we were talking before the break about energy and how it is that we are constantly using energy, but sometimes we're not particularly aware of it. And I had an experience this morning that really brought this home to me about energy and using our energy and what that can feel like and the intensity that we sometimes experience. So in the morning, my partner and I usually sit across from the room from each other in the living room drinking a cup of coffee, and we were doing that this morning when she suddenly jumped out of her chair, coffee cup literally blew in the air and down on the ground and coffee everywhere. And she started shouting and she was clearly upset. Oh, no. What is it? Whatever. She was very upset. And so I jumped up immediately. And where my mind went was we've been having some work done on the house. And so the front door has been open quite a bit. And I thought, what has gotten into the house through that experience, right? Is this a raccoon? Is it a rat? Is it a mouse? So I jumped up. Also, she's shouting. I'm saying, what's going on? I go over to where she is. And on the ground, I see, okay, it was a spider. But two things. One, she's very afraid of spiders. And two, this was the largest, scariest looking spider I have ever seen. And it had been on her person. So no criticism of her for being upset. So we both, you know, figure out what's going on and we find it. And I'm not happy to say, but the spider did not survive the incident. But we got rid of the spider. We got the coffee cleaned up off the floor, off the chair, off the rug. It was really everywhere. It took a lot. And afterwards, we were standing in the kitchen, and that was all about 2 minutes, right? I'm just huge energy expended. And we were standing in the kitchen. She's making herself another cup of coffee, and I am aware of how shaken I feel inside, how that sense of the adrenaline pumping through me is still there. And I started thinking about not just all of the kind of push out to respond to her concern, but then what it took to come back from that, right? To return to a calm state of mind. And I wish I had thought to do 3 deep breaths. I didn't. I just kind of stood there, but I was really curious. And this is, you know, one of the things I really encourage you to do in any situation is be curious about what's happening to you in your own mind and your own body. And so I was very interested in all of this effort to regain some calmness in my body. And I think about that a lot when I think about equanimity, right? Calmness, composure, steady conscious realization of reality's transience. So I want to talk about then, what are some obstacles to equanimity for you? And I'd like you to be thinking about that as I keep chatting, right? Of what gets in your way? What throws you off course during a day? And I think about things that people have been talking to me about lately, right? I ask somebody in my family to go to the store to get hamburger buns, and they come back with onion rolls. Hamburger buns and onion rolls are kind of similar. They're not the same thing, and they're not what I asked for. I realize that somebody in my household has gone into the cabinet and taken one of the matching dinner plates and put it under a plant out on the front porch. I don't really think that's what dinner plates are for. I have a colleague at work who's delayed on a project, isn't getting me the document that I need to review. 10 days pass, they finally get me the document and say, hey, I need it in an hour, right? You're behind, and now suddenly I'm under a crazy deadline that I can't meet. A lot of things can get in our way, can throw us off track. And what I want to think about, as we talk about equanimity and these things that throw us off that path, is something that my friend Craig talked to me about the other day. Craig is married to a nearly perfect human being, but not actually perfect. And his husband did something that irritated Craig, that Craig didn't like and wished he hadn't done. And Craig was very excited when he was telling me about this, because we were both talking about kind of the mindfulness journey. And he said, you know, I realized I had this opportunity. I saw it happening, right? I felt the tension in my body. I felt my jaw clenching, probably. The thoughts started coming about, gosh, I wish he hadn't done this, but angrier. And I saw them, right? They weren't just taking me on a ride. I saw them as my thoughts that I could observe, a voice that I could hear, as opposed to simply being swept away, drowned in a sense by them. And I was excited for him, because what happened was then he had a different kind of conversation with his husband about the thing, as opposed to the argument that he thinks would have been a more typical outcome of that kind of moment. But what he said to me about this has really stayed with me. He said, I realized I didn't have to go there. And because I didn't go there, I didn't have to come back. So I want to slow down a second and talk about, what does it mean for you when you're thrown off your path of equanimity, when you're in a steady, calm place and something happens that challenges that, what does it mean to you to have to go there? So for me, I think about those kinds of examples of, you know, the plain hot dog or the plain buns versus the onion rolls, the plate under the plant, the coworker who's late but now wants you to hurry up, right? What happens in my brain? What do I start telling myself? What is the voice saying to me? Let's stay with the buns, right? I ask you to do something for me and you're not listening, right? I asked you for something simple. This is just another example of you never listen to me. You don't take me seriously. You don't respect me. You don't understand what my needs are. Think about all of the layers we can start putting on top of, I wanted hamburger buns, you wanted onion rolls, or you bought onion rolls. Don't know if you wanted them, but that's what you bought. You know, and when people tell us these stories about their relationships of this kind of thing happening, we often think that's silly. What a silly thing to get upset about. But in our own lives, we know it. Craig even said to me a couple of days later, it was such a silly thing to be upset about. And he kind of was laughing at himself. But in that moment, it isn't, is it? And partly it isn't, right? We're not just dealing with the difference between onion rolls and hamburger buns. We're dealing with what that means, what that voice in my head, that dictator voice tells me that means. It means you don't respect me. It means you don't love me. It means you aren't listening to me. It means you don't understand me. It means that my needs aren't important to you. All of this layer and layer and layer, and it kind of gets you out there, and you go from, I asked for hamburger buns, you brought me onion rolls, and that is the evidence that our relationship is doomed. Now, I want to say some relationships are doomed, right? Some people shouldn't be together, but sometimes that's not really what's happening. If we can stay present to the moment, if we can have steady, even breathing, if we can be steady ourselves, if we can see that it's those voices at a certain point that have kicked in and that are screaming really loud about what this decision on a loved one's part about onion rolls means, right? That it means so much more. And we can't actually solve the problem of the onion rolls, right? There may be very good reasons why the person bought them and good reasons why you don't want them, but that actually goes out the window, the opportunity to address reality, right? What is, what I have is onion rolls, not hamburger buns. That goes away as that voice takes over. And sometimes that, of course, leads to arguments, meltdowns, blowouts, all those things, because not because necessarily about the thing that happened, but because about what that voice in our head tells us it means in terms of the other person in our relationship. And sometimes we can't even address it. You know, I think of work relationships. We often are in situations where we don't feel as if we can say to the other person, hey, your failure to, you know, get this done on time does not create an emergency for me. Instead, but that doesn't quiet the voice, right? Just because we don't think we have the opportunity to actually address it and react rather than respond to the other person, that voice can get real busy. This person's a jerk. They don't understand. They're always this way, right? Topic, you know, comment, 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 and in a kind of catastrophic way and in a totalizing way. This person always, this person never, that kind of, you know, big language that says that this is really not something that can be salvaged or fixed or addressed. Right, we can't deal with reality. We have to deal with this messed up person in the relationship. So that's the going there. But what Craig's comment meant to me that I had never thought about before was the energy it takes to come back, right? Because these things are not like LASIK surgery, right? It's not as if you solve the problem or you have the fight and then maybe you resolve it and then everything's fine. I know from my own experience that I think about the last time my partner and I had a real argument. It started on a Saturday morning, and although I think the reality was finally dealt with probably by Saturday afternoon, the coming back, right, the dismantling all of the angry thoughts I had had in those first couple of hours, of kind of laying them to rest, of repairing the damage internally. This, you know, some of it I was able to talk to her about and process, but some of it was really my own work to do for myself. And I don't think I would say I felt restored to that original place or a better place, maybe until Sunday night, right? It was an enormous amount of energy to go there, and it was an enormous amount of energy to come back from there. And that's when we think about the obstacles to mindfulness, the obstacles to equanimity, we often talk about not having time, right? I don't have the time in the moment to make a different kind of decision, to interpret things in a different way. I'm just there being, doing, I just have to do this. But what I want to point out is energy is going to get used either way, right? Energy is going to get used either way. It's going to be required. Now, that habit of mind, of being reactive, of being angry, of allowing things to kind of explode and expand, it's so familiar that we may not even understand or recognize it as an expenditure of energy. Whereas standing still, being steady in our breathing, being aware of what's immediately in front of us and dealing with that, that too is an enormous expenditure of energy. But as I say, it's going to be a lot of work either way. So that's we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about, so how do I learn to stand still, breathe evenly, and pay attention to what's happening in the moment, as opposed to taking myself on that long ride. So this is Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and I'll see you after the break.
Have you ever wondered how you might feel differently if the books were full of her instead of him? What if your history lesson was filled with powerful women leaders and rulers? As a woman, would you feel more empowered? As a man, would you see women differently? I'm Megan Edge. I'd love for you to join me on my radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio. I hope to see you there.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
Living a richly abundant life? Sound too good to be true? Listen in to Richly Abundant Women with Julie Steelman on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Embrace a vibrant future of breaking free financially and creating a richly abundant life filled with prosperity and growth. To learn more about Julie Steelman and Richly Abundant Women, visit www.juliesteelman.com.
Get your goddess groove on with me, Laura Hosfor. Tune in every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where I offer you authentic channel messages of love, inspiration, and heart-healing grace. Get your goddess groove on. When the goddess speaks, everyone listens. For more information, visit LauraHosford.com. That's LauraHosford.com.
For stimulating conversation and keys that will change your life, tune in to Dynamic Destiny with Coach Pete every first and third Wednesday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Pete to get clarity for your calling and practical wisdom for results. For more about Coach Pete, visit PeteCoaching.com. That's P-E-T-E Coaching.com.
Hi, everyone. We're back. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. So today we're talking about equanimity, or calmness, composure, being the steady awareness of the transience of reality. And we're talking about the obstacles to it and the fact that no matter what we're doing, whether we're practicing mindfulness or whether we're in a kind of mindless state, either way, we're expending a lot of energy. And as I said right before the break, you know, because habits of mind are habits of mind, often, right, deeply embedded, deeply ingrained, we don't even notice them anymore. And one of the things we may not notice is how much energy they take. So one of the places we might notice it is when we're in a difficult situation, right? When somebody has kind of thrown us off track, derailed us in some way, and we've become very reactive. And we notice maybe then that we're expending a lot of energy to get angry and to react. And one of the things my friend Craig pointed out that I'd never thought of before is, though, that it also takes a lot of energy to come back from that. And if you think about it in terms, I think, particularly of close relationships, somebody you spend a lot of time with, you know, if it's a work colleague, you might be able to walk away from that person and then really not notice the kind of repair work you have to do internally to be okay with that person and to be okay within yourself. But with close relationships, I think we might be able to see a little bit more clearly the work that we have to do to restore ourselves to a calm state in order to maintain the relationship. And, you know, we can talk about that, and maybe I will at another time, about some of the habits of mind that probably aren't very helpful that we get into and when we're bringing ourselves back from that. But the point today in terms of equanimity is simply energy expended no matter what, right? Whether we are blown away and taken away by the anger and fear, et cetera, or whether we are in a mindful state and a steady state, a state of composure and dealing with the problem at hand, as opposed to the difficult, fearful, angry thoughts that may be coming instead. So one of the concepts that I have found helpful in this, in terms of why do we do that and how do we get out of it and what's happening when we're doing it. Michael Singer, in his book, The Untethered Soul, talks about the process of putting on our suit of armor. And he talks about it in terms of our desire to avoid feeling vulnerable. So I want you to be thinking about, as I've been asking you to think about your own places in your life where you get thrown off track, where your composure is blown apart and you become reactive, angry, fearful, etc. Whether you express it or not, you know, because even if it's just happening in your own mind, it's still having an impact on your whole person. So what are those places? And then what is it when you're avoiding vulnerability and you're putting on your suit of armor, you know, what are those characteristics or features for you? One of the things I notice in my own life, and this kind of goes back to my crossword puzzles, right? And my observation that I don't like to do things I'm not good at. And especially if that thing requires a lot of failure before you get the hang of it. So I would say one of the ways I put on my armor is I quit. I walk away, right? Because in that moment, that sense of vulnerability for me is probably I feel stupid, and I really don't like to feel stupid, right? That's that spot that's pretty tender for me, and I don't like it. And if I think I'm at risk of that, there's a real good chance I'm going to quit. So what are some of those things for you? What do you think is happening for you that you feel vulnerable? What are your vulnerabilities? And then what is the armor you use to keep yourself from feeling vulnerable, right? Maybe you're a person who feels like you're easily taken advantage of, right? And so your armor is indifference. I'm just going to put on a suit of armor that says I don't care because it's hard for me to establish boundaries, and I know that, and I feel bad about myself when that happens, and so I'm just going to be indifferent to what's happening around me because if I'm not, I'm too vulnerable to other people and maybe to feeling taken advantage of. Maybe you notice that you don't feel comfortable being alone with your thoughts. Right. And so you schedule every minute of your day to make sure and even when you're alone, running around, you know, doing stuff, you're listening to the radio or you're listening to a podcast or you're listening to music, you're doing something to make sure that you're not alone with your thoughts. Because maybe when you're alone with your thoughts, you feel vulnerable, right? Vulnerable probably to your feelings, right? If I'm alone with my thoughts, I might notice what comes up, right? A sense of fear or danger or hurt or shame, right? All of those things. And when we're alone with our thoughts in that kind of mindful, present to the moment way, sometimes they get the better of us. You know, one of the things about practicing mindfulness is really about being able to accept what comes up through meditation or through a kind of quiet, mindful practices. Sometimes things will come up that are upsetting and troubling to us. And, you know, this is where that whole idea about equanimity really comes in handy, doesn't it? Because it's, you know, it's that steady conscious awareness of reality's transience. So if I can remember that in the moment when those difficult feelings are coming up, I can remind myself and they will pass. Right? But instead, we have a habit and a practice and a culture that does not value vulnerability, vulnerability to ourselves or to others, and that teaches us a lot of different ways to put on a suit of armor to keep ourselves from being vulnerable. Because if I, you know, if I go back to that mental image of somebody standing still, breathing evenly, attending to the present moment, I do see a person who is vulnerable, right? I see a person who is open. I see a person whose defenses are down and maybe even is trying to let go of their defenses, right? So that's, you know, what this, when we think about this practice. And, you know, we've talked about various ways that you might enhance your practice of mindfulness. And so I'm kind of wondering and hoping, and maybe you'll write in and tell me, you know, what practices have you found? Early on, I talked about my own, one of my practices every day is making the bed. And I do it with full attention as much as possible to the making of the bed, right? I'm not making my to-do list. I'm not thinking about a conversation with other people that I've had recently. I'm not anticipating future events. I'm just trying to pay attention to how the sheets feel, how they move against each other, the plumping of the pillows, the straightening of the bed skirt. I'm just trying to be right there in that moment. And I do that because it quiets my mind. It helps me develop a capacity for a quiet mind to be able to concentrate and only see and notice and be attending to what's right in front of me. And it also helps me notice where does my mind typically go and then how do I feel when it goes there, right? So that's one of those practices. And I would encourage you, let me know what you're doing, right? Is it brushing your teeth? Is it cleaning out the cat bowl? What's something that's a 2 or 3 minute task that you're doing every day that's helping you practice mindfulness, that steady awareness of just the present moment without judgment, which is a very hard part to get to. I've been talking to people that I work with about that without judgment part, right? How can I take a walk through the woods and just notice what's here and not judge it, not judge the other people whose path I cross, not judge the way the roots come up and trip me occasionally, not judge anything, but just notice, notice, notice. How do I use that as a quiet mind opportunity? And I really think that it's, of course, and I say this often, it would it be great if you could meditate for an hour? You bet. Go for it. Do it. But that 2 or 3 minutes is a place to start. And so I'd love to know what you're doing in, for 2 or 3 minutes a day to quiet your mind. And in that moment, you know, you're really practicing equanimity, right? You're standing still, more or less. You're breathing evenly, or you can pay attention to that to notice, am I breathing evenly? And you're attending to the present moment. So you're building that capacity. So like Craig, when, you know, his husband, so perfect in so many ways, does something that's less than perfect, he can see that habit rise up in him. Yep, I know this, and I know where it's going. I know where it's going to take me. I know the energy it's going to take me to go there. I know the energy it's going to take me to come back from there. And I don't want to spend my energy that way. So can I stand still? Can I breathe evenly? Can I pay attention and problem solve the actual thing that I'm concerned about and address that as opposed to all of that catastrophic thinking that my inner critic pummels me with in these moments? So that's thinking about how to practice, how to get to equanimity, how to notice that it's always going to be an opportunity. Every day gives us an opportunity to practice. And we're going to take our final break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about next week's show and what's up with that, and do a little review to solidify some of today's concepts. I hope you will join me when we come back. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Hi, this is Kimberly Carlson, and I would love for you to tune in to All In Healing Radio, where together we will begin to experience health, happiness, and harmony in all areas and aspects of life. Join us every first Tuesday of the month at 11 a.m. on TransformationTalkRadio.com. All In Healing will help you release layers of negative beliefs and energies for radiant health, deep joy, and greater abundance. Visit me at KimberlyCarlson.com.
Are you ready to awaken to your divine and true potential? Tune into a spirited exchange radio with me, Carrie Kadambi, every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. We discuss the evolution of the modern mind and how the power of awakening, healing, and connecting allows us to step into living a life of love in action. For more information about me, visit thedivineguidancegift.com.
Get your goddess groove on with me, Laura Hosfor. Tune in every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where I offer you authentic channel messages of love, inspiration, and heart-healing grace. Get your goddess groove on. When the goddess speaks, everyone listens. For more information, visit LauraHosford.com. That's LauraHosford.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Today, we're talking about a particular concept within mindfulness, which is equanimity, or in everyday life and regular speech, we might talk about it as calmness and composure. The Buddhists talk about it as the steady, conscious realization of reality's transience. And I've been talking about what I picture when I think of somebody who is in a state of equanimity, someone who is standing still, someone who is breathing evenly, and someone who is attending to and conscious of what's right in front of them, of the present moment. We've been talking about the obstacles to equanimity, the things that can throw us off track. And sometimes they are those kind of crazy, scary-looking spider in the room that we have to get rid of, and we realize that when we do that, we've expended an enormous amount of energy, and that it takes a while to calm down from that, even though the sense of danger and the reality of the scary spider that I think did actually bite her, would do damage. You know, that's gone, but all of that adrenaline is still in our bodies. We're still trying to calm ourselves down for several minutes afterwards. Unfortunately, with a lot of things that that put us in a reactive state, the mental processing that goes with that, as well as the kind of embodiment of it, the tension, the upset stomach, the headache, the clenched jaw, however it manifests in your life, sometimes that's such a routine part of our lives, such an embedded habit of mind to be reactive to certain kinds of stimulus, that we aren't even aware of the energy it takes to go all the way to the kind of catastrophic thinking that those kinds of disruptions and disturbances can cause. And even less, we're aware of what my friend Craig pointed out to me, which is the energy it takes to come back. And I think about this in terms of repairing the damage with a loved one. If there's been an external and noticeable raising of the voices or a tension or some kind of argument, but also the internal work that we have to do to make it right within ourselves. And some of that work isn't probably very healthy, right? It's making excuses for ourselves or for the other person. It's not probably dealing with the reality of whatever it was that caused the disturbance, or even addressing the pattern that maybe we're in, except in a very angry way that creates defensiveness for both parties. And regardless, even no matter how routine it is, if this is a kind of way you live your life, it is something that takes a lot of energy to manage. So kind of the question I have is, if it's going to take energy either way, can we, through our mindfulness practices, accept and learn to use our energy differently, to learn use our energy to stand still, to breathe evenly, and to focus on what's present in the moment? And, you know, I think it's hard to do. And one of the things that I talked about early on in today's episode is with these mindfulness practices in general, you can read all the books and it's still a challenge to put them into practice. There's nothing instantaneous about it because it's each moment, it's each breath, it's each interaction is an opportunity to either be mindful or be mindless. And I think one of the things that happens when we are in a state of mindlessness, especially if we're practicing mindfulness, is that we come back from that and then we start criticizing ourselves, right? So that whole sense of why don't I already understand this? Why do I have to keep practicing? Is that dictator voice in our head saying, don't you know this already? What's wrong with you? But you know, the voice that's saying that is not the authentic self, right? That is not the witness. That is not the observer. That is that kind of hypercritical culture, family voice going after us. The voice of the authentic self sees every moment as an opportunity to practice and recognizes that it is an effort every single time. Maybe people who've reached enlightenment, it is effortless, but I'm not there yet. And I don't think most people are. And that's okay, right? We're fine just as we are. There's nothing wrong with saying, I have to focus. I have to concentrate. I have to talk to myself out loud to get to mindfulness, to get to a state of equanimity. It's effort. It's work. That's okay. That's not a reason then to turn around and criticize ourselves. But you know, that's unfortunately how the world works, is it focuses on criticism. So I'm hoping you'll do a little homework this week, that maybe you will reach out to me at the show or at on Facebook or through MaryAngelaMaguire.com. No, MaryAngelaMaguire@gmail.com or at my website, which is McGuire Life Coach. And let me know, what is the practice, the 2 or 3 minute daily practice that you're using to help yourself build up your capacity for mindfulness, for a quiet mind. Now I want to talk a little bit about what we're going to do next week on the show, or what I'm going to do next week on the show. So as you know, if you've been listening, the purpose of the show, of course, is to help people on their journey towards greater mindfulness. And one of the particular things I've been talking about is the relationship between our habits of mind and racism. And for white folks specifically, how is it that a belief in racial superiority has become so deeply embedded in our consciousness, and how can we bring that belief to conscious awareness in order to change it? And, you know, if we want to unearth and change a deeply embedded belief, one thing we have to do is notice how we feed our minds. What information do we consume? And one barrier for whites is having very limited and therefore distorted information about and experience with Black Americans. It's just a fact. As part of my own mindfulness journey, I want to use this platform to disrupt those habits of mind and that reinforce white racial superiority. And disrupting these habits means feeding my mind and yours with counter-narratives, stories from Black Americans about their ordinary yet extraordinary lives. So next week's guest is my friend Odette Jackson. Odette was born and raised in Rock Island, Illinois, and she and her husband, Bill, have been married for 53 years. They'll celebrate their 53rd wedding anniversary this year. They have two sons and six grandchildren. Bill was a career military man, and he and Odette have lived all over the world. She worked for the U.S. Air Force for 19 years and the U.S. Army for 11 years and retired with 30 years of distinguished service. And Odette's going to talk to us about her family history and the importance of faith in her life. She's going to talk about the experience of being a military wife and the travel and the various locations they lived in and the impact that that had on her and her family. She's going to talk about her civilian career and about the extensive community volunteering that she does. I really hope you'll join us. She's a fantastic person, and I know you'll enjoy listening to her stories. So, folks, let's take three more deep breaths, shall we? Remember, the first breath, just pay attention to your breath. Second, relax any tension you're feeling in your body. And then third, set your intention for the next hour, okay? So breath number one. Second breath, relax. And then third breath, set your intention for the next hour. If you'd like to find out more about my work as a life coach and as a communication coach, you can visit my website, which is McGuire Life Coach. You can email me at MaryAngelaMcGuire@gmail.com. And I hope you'll do that with your homework. Let me know, what are the practices that you're putting into effect in your life to take a couple of minutes each day to focus on the present moment, the immediate task at hand, to notice where your mind goes, to allow yourself to be quiet sometimes? What are some places, and if you haven't done it yet, what are some places where you might do it? When I talked to somebody the other day about this, I said he likes to ride his bike, and he noticed that whenever he's on his bike, he's always racing. And he said, "No, who am I racing? What am I racing towards?" But it's just a habit of mind, and it's a struggle to come back from that. So I didn't say to him, "Hey, you really need to just for that whole hour that you're riding the bike, just focus on the present moment." He said, 2 or 3 minutes. Right at the start of your bike ride, at the end of your bike ride, you might use a sound meditation. Just notice everything you can hear, how near, how distant, a kind of visual meditation. What's everything that you're seeing around you? And noticing, of course, key phrase, without judgment. So let me know what you're doing in your life. Again, you can reach me at MaryAngelaMcGuire@gmail.com, or you can reach me at McGuire Life Coach, which is my website. And until then, I hope that you will be safe, that you will be well, and that together we will challenge ourselves to change. Thanks for joining me today on Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. You've been listening to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. Join me next time as we continue to practice mindfulness and challenge ourselves to change. If you'd like to find out more about my work or contact me, please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
The music for Nothing But Now was created by Salt Theory.